And 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The House Republican investigation agenda now focusing on what it calls a potential conspiracy at the National Institutes of Health.
Congressional investigation that revolves around the use of encrypted private email accounts, forwarded confidential information, and the intentional misspelling of words to avoid the Freedom of Information Act. Last week, Dr. Anthony Fauci's top aide admitted he tried to cover up correspondence about the COVID-19 origins. Now, Fauci is set to testify before Congress next week and will surely be asked about this investigation.
ABC's Em Nguyen. Jury deliberations in Trump's hush money trial resume this morning after the panel gets readbacks of the testimony of Michael Cohen and former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker. Seattle Mayor Bruce Harrell fired Police Chief Adrian Diaz after lawsuits by no fewer than six police personnel accusing Diaz of racial and gender discrimination. This is ABC News. Unknown how many of them are still on the road, but Nissan issued a do-not-drive order for certain models that range between 18 and 22 years old that were recalled a few years ago because of faulty Takata airbag inflators.
Nissan recalled more than 700,000 Sentras, Pathfinders, and Infiniti QX4s back in 2020 over concerns the airbag inflator could explode and send metal fragments flying through the cabin in the event of a crash. But Nissan says 84,000 of those vehicles haven't been fixed and are still in use, which is why it's issuing a do-not-drive order.
ABC's Mike Dubusky. Federal public health officials reaffirming the importance of properly cooking wild game. Six people took sick with trichinosis after eating undercooked bear meat at a family reunion in South Dakota. The meat was contaminated with roundworms. The meat had been frozen for 45 days, but this species of worm is impervious to freezing. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Berlow.
Don't forget your sunscreen. It's true. You should be protecting your skin year-round, even in Wisconsin. But did you know spring is actually the peak time that you're at risk for getting a sunburn? Here's why. UV rays are more intense in the spring, even before temperatures warm up. And second, it's all due to the angle of the sun. UV radiation strengthens as the sun reaches a more direct angle. This happens throughout May and into June, leading up to the summer solstice on June 21st. A good reminder to be sunny weather ready, even if there's still some springtime cool outside. So slap that sunscreen on. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. This summer could be the hottest in history. The National Weather Service predicts Wisconsin will see temperatures anywhere from 33 to 50% higher than normal in the months of June, July, and August. 2023 was the hottest year since 1850. Early signs of a record-breaking summer showed up last June when temperatures were around 2.7 degrees hotter than average multiple days in a row. We could see more temperature records fall in the coming months. More bad news on the weather front. Wisconsin's severe storm season is just beginning. Last year, 21 total tornadoes touched down in Wisconsin. This year, the tornado count is already 22 before the end of May. If a tornado is near, move to the basement or a room with few doors and windows. If you are outside, find a low, flat location and watch out for flying debris. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers clocked the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was a big night for the Brewers outfielder Blake Perkins, with unbelievable catches in center field and making a difference at the plate.
And a home run saving catch in the top of this frame. In the air, left center field, got some carry. Half at the wall, it's gone! Blake Perkins, have a night! Two-run home run for Perkins.
Brian Anderson, Valley Sports, Wisconsin. Final score, the Brewers 10, the Cubs 6. Perkins and the crew defense making big plays. Manager Pat Murphy.
One would have been a grand slam. I mean, you're talking 9 runs that you save. Oh, wait a minute. By the way, you made 3 unbelievable catches, saved all those runs. And, by the way, homer. game to remember.
NFL. At the Packers OTAs, defensive back Jair Alexander says he's determined to be more of a team player.
Just going into year seven, I'm trying not to make as much about myself and, just do what's best for the team.
That's Jair Alexander with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price at the overnight. Clear skies and then clouds forming and some patchy fog as well. Light southeast winds at lows in the mid and upper 40s. For your Thursday, morning fog and clouds will give way to sunshine. Highs will warm to the lower 70s. Currently 49 degrees.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, Ace Champion joins us with some special music to promote a show he has coming up at the Tarleton Theater.
And our friend Pat Tracy from Discover Oshkosh joins us with a list of things to do this weekend in Oshkosh.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 9. News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who loves to watch true crime, but only if it's shoplifting, Pete Schwabba.
All right. We are back on the air here at Nightlight, live on this beautiful Wednesday night, broadcasting statewide over our beautiful state here in Wisconsin. Great to have you with me tonight, midweek. Feels like a Monday. It's not. Feels like an early hump day. It's a Monday hybrid with Wednesday. I had a very long weekend. I'm very glad to be back here. Talking to anyone who will listen, because I don't know what to do with myself on weekends, especially long weekends. The K-Man is in Italy, somewhere in the Mediterranean. I don't know where he is, but we had a night where I don't think we had any coverage, so I took the night off. And after a long weekend, it ended up being that's the most time I've had off probably in a year, and it felt weird. But sitting in for Conrad tonight, we have kind of a carousel of hosts, and they've all been so much fun to work with. And everybody here at Civic Media is pulling together to keep Nightlight going in Conrad's absence. And tonight we have the awesomely talented and really fun Anya Esther. Anya, how are you?
I'm so much better now that I'm here with you, Pete. This is awesome.
Hey, it's great to have you. Listen, you've been a guest on this show. And we've talked periodically over the last year about movies and TV, and you have a serious interest in that as well. So I think we're going to have a lot of fun. You'll be doing the show tonight, tomorrow night, and Friday, if I'm not mistaken. Correct?
That's right. This is a three-night set, a three-night residency I'm doing here on Nightlight. That's right.
Outstanding. How do you like being in Green Bay?
I love it. I love driving up here. It was a nice drive, very little traffic, few people on the road, I think, because like you said, it's a Monday-Wednesday hybrid. Nobody really knows where to go or what to do.
Yeah.
But we're having a great time. It's a beautiful little city. I haven't seen much of it other than Lambeau Field, so I'm excited to kind of, in the middle of the day, the next 2 days, have some time on my lunch to go explore this city and see what are you guys doing up here? What do you do for fun? I'm excited.
You know, it's great. I don't live here, but I will say a lot of people think only of the Packers when they think of Green Bay.
Right.
And that's certainly warranted. They're this humongous brand, this little town. They're a worldwide brand. It's such a cool thing. But Green Bay has so much other stuff to offer, and they got some really cool. I've seen places where they've shot movies here, and it's got some grit to it, but it's got some awesome, really cool modern architecture and bars and restaurants. So I can't speak for you. I've really enjoyed getting to know Green Bay a little bit over the past 6 months since we've been on the air. It's a really fun town.
Yeah, I just driving in and even just getting to our hotel, I was like, oh, I wouldn't expect Green Bay to have this. I think I saw like a boba shop. I was like, they got boba this far north now? That's awesome. So excited to see what's happening up here in the GB area.
Can you, just for some of the listeners who don't know what boba is, myself included?
Oh, of course.
Can you clarify that?
So boba,
it's tea, right?
So okay. it's boba are the little bursting beads of juice that you'd put at the bottom of a milk tea. So the drink is still tea, and then what's in? I guess I don't really know what's in boba. I guess I just drink them, but they're like little. They're like if you could eat Orbeez, which is fun, childhood dream of mine. And they come in all sorts of different flavors. And then some boba is just tapioca and there's nothing in them. And they're just kind of chewy things to chew in your drink. Because that's what you want. Right, Pete? Am I convincing you to get a boba?
Chewy tea. That's what
chewy
I love.
Tea,
I love
yeah.
crunchy tea. Absolutely. When you first said that, I thought you meant paba.
I don't know what that is.
Okay. Paba is something. I think it's in sunblock. I'd pick up a thing of sunblock and it'll say paba free.
Oh.
And my first inclination is to say, thank God, the last thing I need is paba, whatever on earth that is.
Exactly.
But it's a strange, yeah, it was introduced to sunscreens in the 1970s. It was a key ingredient in sunscreen starting in the 40s. However, paba can be harmful in large amounts and has been linked to allergic skin reactions in some people. Paba can also cause skin hyperpigmentation or dark patches. You know, sometimes you find out they put something in there and it's like, why did they even put it in the first place? They either didn't test it. It's got a ton of side effects, paba. I was not prepared to talk about paba tonight, by
the way. Me either.
It's kind of a fun word to say. Boba is tea. Paba is a chemical found in sunblock. So, which I need. I am fair skinned. That's the one downside for summer when it comes to me is just I have to put on sunblock. I can't get away. I don't tan. If I really try, like when I was a kid, I would bronze a little bit.
Okay.
Like I got burnt enough. I'd get like a deep red-ish, brown-ish. But, is it worth it, you know?
I don't think so.
I
can't stand a sunburn. Once they start to itch or once they start can't stand it.
Do you tan at all?
I don't get outside enough to tan. I'm back here on the board. But in a normal summer, yes. When I would work summer camps. Yeah, exactly. When I would work summer camps, I would come home shockingly tan. So, yes.
Oh, nice. That must be nice. Today is National Flip-Flop Day. Speaking of summer, and there are some people that I like flip-flops. They're handy, practical around the house. But when I go to the grocery store, there are some people that wear flip-flops that should not be wearing flip-flops and around food. I don't know. There's some people, I just can't look at their feet.
Yep.
And I can't believe they'd show them. I'm not in great shape anymore. You know, I don't take my shirt off in the yard. I don't want to subject people to that. But some guys, shirts off, it's summertime. What are you doing? Why would you show yourself? You have moobs. And I don't get it. And the feet, too. I can't do it.
The feet thing especially, I'm like, I'm shocked by where people will just have their toes out. I'm like, aren't you afraid of... I've seen people hiking in flip-flops, and I'm just thinking, you're going to really... trip and hurt yourself, or you're gonna stub your toe on a tree and that's gonna hurt. What are you doing out here?
Yeah, I don't understand that either. Hey, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who is making Wisconsin great one beer at a time. Check out their webpage, minocquabrewingcompany.com, to see where you can buy progressive beer. And join them for live music, poetry, and progressive politics at their new tap room at 2927 East Washington Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin. How do you feel about Madison, Anya?
You know what? I had a good time when I was in Madison. Me and the Busted Pencils boys also checked out Minocqua Brewing Company.
Nice.
Nice little spot. I got to say, all the ad copy says enjoy their beer. I have to throw this out there. Enjoy their seltzers too, friends. They're very good. I'm not a beer person, and I found their seltzers delish.
I am not either. I'll drink a soda or seltzer is my preferred drink nowadays. But Kirk gave me a craft soda.
Oh, there you go.
I didn't even know those existed, and it was delicious. So it's a great little joint, and love the Busted Pencils guys. Tim and Johnny are so much fun.
Oh, they're the best.
So we've got a great show tonight. Anya is riding shotgun where Conrad usually sits, where a host of other people have sat over the last... I was in Madison last week. We're going to play a fun... I talked to some people in Madison about what they're watching and how they like Madison. We'll play that over the next couple of days. Those are some... Got some fun footage of that. But tonight, back here in Green Bay, back in the seat here, Paul Gilmartin joins me tonight. Paul is the former host of Dinner in a Movie on TBS and a very funny comedian. one that I looked up to when I started doing stand-up in Chicago in the early 90s. We became very good friends. I want to talk to Paul about the reboot. They are rebooting Dinner in a Movie. And Jason Biggs, who, if you've ever seen American Pie, you know he should probably not be allowed around food, especially baked goods. We will get Paul's commentary, his opinion on the reboot, and talk to Paul about what he's up to. He's always got fun stuff going on. And then Craig Anthony Knitt will be here in the second hour talking about a cinema summit that is taking place here in Green Bay this Saturday at the Brown County Library. They've got a great lineup of guests. Craig is a fun guy to talk to. He's been in the studio before. He's always got some project going. And he teaches kids, and he teaches kids film. And I think that's really cool that kids in grade school get exposed to that at a young age. So we got a couple really fun guests tonight. I will say this. I saw Furiosa. I've been talking about Furiosa for a couple weeks leading up to the premiere over the weekend. I had huge expectations going in, and it did not disappoint. At one point, I asked myself, am I enjoying this as much as I thought I would? Which is not a good question, but I answered it, yes, I am. Like, I went with my wife and another couple, and we were all just, it's got that, you know, Anya, like when you see a movie and it just starts, it takes off and it never stops. And it's that great score, that dun, 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 dun. It's like this, it's so intense. And the star of the movie, Anna Joy, I'm forgetting her name.
Now, hold on. That's Anya Taylor-Joy.
Oh, it is Anya Taylor-Joy.
That's my name twin, sir. You will get that name right, sir.
I think I could do that. I could do you a solid. She does not look like she does. Well, I mean, I've seen pictures where she's all glammed up. But in this movie, she's so good. And the film just, like, it got like 90% on RottenTomatoes.com. And it does not disappoint. It disappointed a little bit at the box office. They thought it would get better numbers, but, you know, whatever. People are going to go see it or they're not. It is a great movie. Really fun. If there is a weak link in the movie, and there's not, it's Chris Hemsworth. He's just kind of like, it doesn't need to be him. He's got a beard. He's got long hair. I didn't even know it was him for like the first 20 minutes. And he's fine, but she steals the show. And the guy she gets connected with halfway through the movie, he's great too. And of course, Immortal Joe is creepy, and a lot of the cast of characters from the Mad Max Fury Road were in it and were great too. So I highly, highly recommend Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. And that leads us to our question tonight, because it got me thinking. Who is your favorite female action hero? There's been several over the years that have been really... Anya, you're probably not... Well, you're not as old as me, but I remember when a female hero, obviously Wonder Woman was around in the 70s, a little bit in the 80s, but to open a film with a main character that was a woman, I remember Gina Davis in The Long Kiss Goodnight and them making a big deal about how she is the badass. She is the action hero, and it's a woman. Whoa. And now there have been tons of them.
Oh, yeah. I growing up in a society that was... you know, making more films about women has been huge for me.
Yeah.
But I am so excited to hear what you're saying about this film, where it's not just oh, there she goes, but she's going to make it. It's like, no, she kicks butt and
she's
taking names. And I love that.
She's great. And that's what our question is tonight. Who is your favorite female action hero? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know. And we will read your text on the air. We have so much fun doing that. And as you know, you can text us throughout the course of the show, regardless of what I'm talking about. I love to hear your opinions. Great to be back with you guys. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. More Furiosa coming up next.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm going to share a practical hack that I use to manage my spending. It's my wish list. A wish list is just a note I keep in my phone where I write down all the things I want to buy, but I don't have a plan or a budget to buy. You know, like stuff I see randomly on Instagram or TikTok, or these new shoes that my BFF just got that I am totally obsessed about. My wish list does two things. First, it gives me a place to put that feeling of want instead of just pulling out my credit card. And second, it gives me time to decide if I really want it. And then, if I can afford it. I revisit my wish list once a week or so. I take a look at every single thing on there, and then I pick if I want to find the budget for that thing or if I'm going to, you know, let it go. And I will tell you that mostly I end up letting things go. So if you're looking to cut back on spending, try making a wish list. This is Carrie Joy, and that has been your Work Money Minute. Take good care.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Todd Michaels just texted on the stream and said moobs. L-M-A-O. You know what that means, Anya?
Laughing my ass off.
Just checking.
I can always translate for you.
My friend Mike and I go back and forth. We add a bunch of letters to L-M-A-O, and we try to guess what the letters, what we're referring to. Moobs. The first time I heard moobs was about 10 years ago. One of my nieces, I think, said it, and I laughed hysterically. It's a great word. Sherry from Horicon checks in. Good evening, Pete and Anya. This is Sherry. Missed you, Pete. Saw you, Anya. We missed you too, Sherry. Great to hear from you as always, and glad you are chilling out with us tonight. She says, glad you got a break. I am too. I did settle in. The problem is when you get a break, you don't know what to do with yourself for like the first couple days. And then by the time you finally start to relax, it's time to go back to work. Sherry says, Pete Schwabob is talking about, I think she meant Paba.
Pete Schwab Paba. Yeah, this Sherry's is, a, I don't know if this would work. Yeah.
She's from Horicon or Horicon. See, I can make fun of your city, Sherry.
I was going to
say.
That's
how this works. Andrew from Verona says, Sigourney Weaver kicking some alien ass. She was on my list too, Andrew. That's a great one. My favorite moving forward is Furiosa. I love her. But I love Charlize Theron in Mad Max Fury Road. Sigourney Weaver is so great in both of the Aliens. Or all three. She was in, how many Aliens? She's in all of them, I guess. But I remember her from the first two. I don't even know if I saw the third one. Loved Gina Davis in The Long Kiss Goodnight, directed by Rennie Harlan, a great action director. And love Gal Gadot in Wonder Woman. So those are mine. I don't know. Anya, you have any inside info here for us since you're a of the female persuasion?
Oh, yes. My expertise. yeah, I was going to say Gal Gadot came to mind. I think both Linda Carter and Gal Gadot's takes on Wonder Woman being, I mean, really... a woman who was a super, she's not Superwoman. She's her own thing. I think that is so important to get away from just, well, there's Spider-Man. We'll just make Spider-Woman. It's like, no, let's right. have a new character who does her own thing. Thank you. Right. So I love them. I'm of course, because I'm on air blanking for other names, but bringing up Gina Davis, I think just every film she's in, because that's the same lady she's in Beetlejuice and is League of Our Own. Is that Gina Davis? Am I getting that name right?
Yeah.
I think every she's film great. She's in, League of Their Own, you know, she's not an action hero, but she's also kind of being like putting her foot down saying, hey, you know, I'm in charge here a little bit too. And I think sometimes that is the female superpower we don't see enough of is like the real stuff. But I'm getting far away from movies now. So that's my take.
Yeah, no, that's a great take. And like I said, Charlize Theron in Mad Max Fury Road was great too. This franchise, George Miller is directing circles around younger directors right now. The guy's 80 years old. I think in Fury Road, that film won like 7 or 8 Oscars. He did not win Best Director, which to me was sort of a crime. I don't know what'll happen this time around, but he equally matches what he did 9 years ago. It's so good. I also watched over the weekend a show called Hacks on Max, which stars Jean Smart and is it's about an aging comedian in Vegas, and she's paired up with a young, edgy writer. And the two of them butt heads. They're kind of women from different eras. But there's this mutual respect, and I'm going to stick with it. I only watched the first show, but I really dug it. I thought it was great. And then I went Jimmy Stewart crazy. I watched one of my all-time favorites, Rear Window, because I didn't want to go to bed, and it was one of those nights, and it was right there on my queue or my list, whatever you call it, so I put it on. And then I watched Anatomy of a Murder, and I want to dig into that film one of these nights a little farther, because that was shot in the Upper Peninsula, and it had a young George C. Scott, Lee Remick, obviously Jimmy Stewart, such a great cast. Eve Arden was in it, and it's just, it made me want to go drive through the UP and see some of where they shot it. Now, it was in black and white. The colors, obviously, there were no colors, so nothing popped that way in terms of scenery, but really cool film. I had never seen it, so I was excited. And then I caught up. I watched a couple of older films in the horror genre, one I hadn't seen since 1985, called Dawn of the Dead, which was hard to get until recently. And Invasion of the Body Snatchers, which I had never seen with Donald Sutherland and Veronica Cartwright. Really kind of an ahead of its time horror film, because I like how they're like, most horror films, you have like an invasion of aliens and it's just weird. And it's kind of like, all right, I guess I can go with this. Invasion of the Body Snatchers had like these particles, like seedlings that come down from space, and they just fall to the earth in plants, and they grow and they latch onto people and take over their bodies. Pretty cool.
That's revolutionary for the time that came out. To me, I think there's so many horror films that do less than that today.
Totally.
So that's awesome.
And it was very organic the way it happened. And they just took over people's minds. They zapped them of their emotions.
Well,
of
they are
love,
organic.
Correct. But I'm saying, like, in terms of a, you're much more of a smartass than Conrad is.
You know,
I don't know if you know that.
Sometimes I listen to your show and I go, Conrad, there was an easy opening there. And I don't text
him. He gift wrapped it for you.
There you go.
But it's true. It's like, you know, the plot just works. It's how they take over and then they just become like these sort of like zombies, but you can't really tell. And how Donald Sutherland pieces it together is pretty cool. I also saw, Anya, when you're here Friday, when we have Terry Barr and we have talked about this, because I saw a friend of mine, Tim Baker, posted this on Facebook. It was Kiss, the band, doing Soft Shoe to I Was Made for Loving You, Baby. They were doing this really weird, lame dance number around Linda Carter, who sang the song.
Sang the song, I Was Made for Loving
You? Loving You, Baby. And these badass Kiss members are doing this like Broadway shuffle. It was so weird.
I will have to look this up. This is, I have to see this.
You have to. All right. So do we have time to play Paul's clip? I want to give the people a little taste of Paul Gilmartin before we bring him on here.
I think we do.
Can we squeeze in? All right. This is a character Paul did, a conservative congressman, which seemed outlandish when he started it 25 years ago. And now the guy would be considered mainstream on the right. Let's hear it.
Congressman Richard Martin from Ohio's 19th district. He's a Republican. Congressman Martin, thank you for joining us.
Cenk, I appreciate it. Appreciate you having me on here.
All right. Glad to that you stopped by in the studio. I'm just going to read you what his press release says, because this is crazy. Sorry, but it's what your press release says. Richards is a United States congressman representing Ohio's 19th district, called a champion of big business and the upper class by the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Richard is actually more than that. He's also a champion of the upper middle class. He's brought hope to thousands of suburban couples struggling to afford a second home. Sounds heartwarming. Now, you've also been called a friend of big oil, but given the seriousness of the recession at hand, how can you still be in favor of giving tax breaks to big oil while cutting benefits to those below the poverty line?
Cenk, you know, the last time I checked, my car didn't run on poor people. The homeless, while oily, don't easily fit into a gas tank. I don't know what you liberals want us to do. You want us to build an offshore hobo platform? You see, the liberals, you live in a fantasy world. You think it runs on raspberries and cinnamon. It doesn't. It runs on oil and the exploited labor of poor people.
That's Paul Gilmartin. He's coming up. Just a few minutes. All right. I also want to say this before we bring Paul in. Baked chips. Give it up. They suck. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Paul Gilmartin coming up next.
News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The House Republican investigation agenda now focusing on what it calls a potential conspiracy at the National Institutes of Health.
Congressional investigation that revolves around the use of encrypted private email accounts, forwarded confidential information, and the intentional misspelling of words to avoid the Freedom of Information Act. Last week, Dr. Anthony Fauci's top aide admitted he tried to cover up correspondence about the COVID-19 origins. Now, Fauci is set to testify before Congress next week and will surely be asked about this investigation.
ABC's M. Nguyen. Jury deliberations in Trump's hush money trial resume this morning after the panel gets readbacks of the testimony of Michael Cohen and former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker. Seattle Mayor Bruce Harrell fired Police Chief Adrian Diaz after lawsuits by no fewer than six police personnel accusing Diaz of racial and gender discrimination. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The judge hearing the lawsuit against Act 10 may have signed a petition to recall former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker. That's according to the Associated Press. This could be important to note because anger over Act 10 drove Wisconsinites to try and recall Walker in 2012. Governor Tony Evers says Judge Jacob Frost should not be removed from the case. Evers is quoted saying, "Let's just let it play out." This case is predicted to reach the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. Two people are found dead after a house exploded near Middleton in the town of Springfield. On Tuesday night, emergency responders received a call about a house on fire. When they reached the scene, the house was entirely in flames. One body was found around 11 p.m. Tuesday night and another Wednesday afternoon. Officials have not yet identified the deceased or the cause of the explosion. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Furiosa was number one at the box office this past holiday weekend, but the box office lag continues as theaters saw the weakest Memorial Day weekend for ticket sales in 35 years. The Mad Max film, which had been hyped beyond belief and was well-reviewed by critics, took in only $32 million over the four-day weekend. Some prognosticators continue to blame the pandemic, but others counter that we've had recent huge box office successes in the last few years, including Barbenheimer, The Little Mermaid, and Top Gun Maverick, continuing to make tracking numbers at theaters a bit of an anomaly. One positive on the horizon for this summer is Wolverine and Deadpool, which doesn't open until late July, but has already broken records for pre-sale tickets. Rounding out the top five from last weekend were kid-friendly Garfield, in a close second place to Furiosa, the John Krasinski family film If, which came in third, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, and The Fall Guy came in fourth and fifth place, respectively. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly sunny today. We're headed to 72 for a high this afternoon with wind fairly light out of the southeast at 5 to 10. Tonight, 46 and clear. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, becoming mostly cloudy, 77, with showers and a few scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night into Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 50.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest, Mr. James Causey. One of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI Overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we learn about Riverside Rhythms coming to downtown Waukesha in hour number 2. A new GOP coloring book should be fascinating conversation. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We are back, shaking off the rust of a long weekend. Great to have you with me tonight. We're broadcasting statewide over Wisconsin airwaves from beautiful downtown Green Bay on the Wednesday following a very sluggish weekend at the box office. But we don't care because Furiosa ruled. And another guy who rules is joining me right now here on Nightlight. He's been here before. You've heard him. You know him. You love him. And you might have seen him on Dinner and a Movie the first go-round. Paul Gilmartin joins me now. Hey, Paul.
It was such a lovely segue. I would like everybody in the state of Wisconsin to just hold a moment of silence for that segue.
Well, I think if you don't want me to compare you to Furiosa, I'm fine with that. I was trying to take care of you, trying to set the table for you to come in here and kick some ass with your girl power, but we can play it your way, buddy. That's fine.
Compare me to who?
Furiosa, the new Mad Max movie. Furiosa is
Is it good?
It's really good, Paul.
I love the Mad Max franchise.
It's like, I loved Fury Road. And this was like, I was telling Anya, the whole film had that score where it's just like, dun, 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 dun. And it doesn't disappoint. You're like, oh my God, it's great. It's really fun.
I'll have to check it out.
And it reminds me of you. So, hey, it's great to have you. It's great to have you. Hey, you just said you took a trip. Where did you go?
Ecuador.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's where my girlfriend is from, and so we were just visiting her family.
So you're not just one of those guys who says you're dating a girl from another country. She actually exists, and you go to visit her. I think that's admirable.
Yes. She lives here, but we went to visit her family.
Oh, okay. Nice. Yeah. How was Ecuador? I've never been.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. We were in Quito, which is really mountainous. It's the capital of Ecuador, and it's at 9,000 feet.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's just lush and super, super steep mountainsides.
Jeez. Yeah.
There is not a straight section of road longer than 10 yards.
Oh, my gosh.
It is just curves and hills, but I loved it. I loved it. And, you know, we went to the rainforest, and I saw – you know, one of the Fruit Loops birds with
the toucan, you know, or whatever. The, did you call it?
It was.
Did you call it a Fruit Loops bird?
I think that's the biological genus.
That's very funny.
Frutus lupus.
He just got all these looks from the Ecuadorians. Like, what is his deal?
But it was great and very, very affordable.
Really?
Yeah, half dozen of us went to a roadside cafe and had dinner, and the bill was $25.
Oh, my gosh. Everybody I know is going to Costa Rica, either to move or visit, like Costa Rica.
Costa Rica apparently is not affordable, though.
But not anymore, maybe, because now it's been like I heard Portugal was really affordable like 10 years ago, and now everybody's – anything on the ocean that has a temperate climate, you know, it seems like it's just
– In Quito, it's within 5 degrees of 70. You don't need air conditioning or heating. And the sun rises because it's at the equator. The sun rises and sets at the same time every day.
I find this interesting that you're talking about this because, and I don't think we got to this last time you were on the show. Paul has lived in LA for about, 30 years now, Paul? Close to 30 years. And I get this email from Paul, who has no connection to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan or Northern Wisconsin. He grew up in Chicago, and he says, Pete, I'm looking at buying, 5 or 10 acres of land in Menominee, Michigan. Do you mind checking it out for me? And I was like, what? Like, I thought it was like a joke. So I'm like, yeah, sure. And then but you know what? The interesting thing is, Paul, and you obviously, you didn't do that. I think you told me you bought land over in Northern Minnesota, even colder. Yeah. but a lot of people, I don't know if it's like they think end of times or what, but they want to go places where there is water.
Yeah.
Right. Is that
when you live in California? Yeah.
Because I've been
there when the drought was really bad before we got all this rain in the last couple of months. They might even still be doing it. There, you are drinking reclaimed water.
What does that mean? What is that, reclaimed water?
Sewage.
Oh.
Is being reclaimed and filtered and cleaned.
Don't they do that anyway, kind of, though? Don't they refilter water?
Yeah, but then they'll use it, you know, to water crops and stuff like that. Oh, that's the, that is normal to do that, right. But not for it to go into the tap water.
Yeah, I've had, since you contacted me like a year, year and a half ago, whatever it was, I've had like five friends that live in Southern California that are like, what's it like there? You know, asking, and I'm like, you know, if you don't mind winter, it's great. It's, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was fun. And you did well to pass on that property because it was right in the bay and it's beautiful. But it looked like there was like some kind of industrial thing there at one point. Like you might be dealing with, I don't know, chemicals or something over time. I don't know. But well, it's good to have you on the show again, Paul. This is fun. And
thanks, buddy. It's always great to see you.
Yeah, likewise.
You're one of my favorite comedy buddies from Chicago.
Thank you. Like back at you. And I remember when I met you, you were one of those guys, you were starting to get some heat, as they say, and you were like one of the funnier guys in Chicago. And I met you and you told me you knew my cousin from Indiana, University of Indiana. And I think you were studying drama and you ended up doing stand up. How did you make that leap? And have you ever thought about going back to acting?
I'm not a good actor, Pete.
Okay.
I think that's what's holding me back. And that I Other don't care. That,
you have a great resume.
I'm not good at it, and I don't care to do it. Those seem to be the two hurdles in my way.
Well,
who was your cousin?
Paul Griffin.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I roomed with Paul.
And he must have said something about me to you, because you already knew about me, and I was like, what? Like, I was just kind of starting, so he must have said something to you, but you guys...
I had always wanted to do stand-up, and honestly, acting was a way for me to overcome my fear of being on stage. So, you know, but I was really, really afraid to do something that where you were out there by yourself.
Right.
And so I tried acting, wasn't good at that. Went through Second City's training program, did not get invited to join the company. And so I was like, okay, last one left is stand up, which I'd wanted to do all along, but I was terrified to do it. And, you know,
it's funny. I have both my kids are interested in sketch and improv and that kind of stuff. And they're both sort of pursuing it. And I kind of encourage them to do that because I like the network you get coming out of Second City or wherever. You have a network to some degree at stand-up, but it's very solitary and it's very competitive, I think, when you start. Not to say sketch isn't, but and also I will say I think stand-up takes a little more guts because it is just you. And if you bomb, you got no brothers or sisters up there to take the heat with you. It is just you. No. So that's
it's brutal. And I honestly think learning improvisation is a good life skill because it kind of hammers home the truth that you need to make friends with reality, with what is going on, instead of trying to jam your idea of how it should be onto a situation.
Interesting. You want to play a little freeze tag right now? Just me and you?
Let's do it. Let me stand up.
A quick round. Hey, so you had this great, but right before I moved to LA or shortly before, you got this gig that was the gift that kept on giving. You were the host of Dinner and a Movie, one of the two hosts, and you had a great run. And now they're bringing it back with Jason Biggs, who, if you've seen American Pie, he probably should not be allowed around food, certainly baked goods. But I've been getting a lot of mileage out of that joke. Anya, you can laugh. It's okay.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Sorry.
It's like trying to be quiet. What do you think about that? How do you feel? Did they come to you or?
No, they've not contacted me.
Okay.
And nor do they need to. I'm really interested to see what they're going to do with it. You know, it's all different people there at TBS.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be interesting. I hope for their sake, they don't script it, because I think that's what worked for us, because it was, improv. You know, we had bullet points, but
sure.
And I hope the network gives them I hope the network doesn't overnote them. You know what I mean? And just let them find their own kind of vibe, because yeah. That's what we did.
My guest is Paul Gilmartin, the former host of Dinner and a Movie. We're talking about the reboot. I have to say, Paul, and I'm not blowing smoke here, I am a little surprised when you said they didn't contact you. Like, you're a young enough guy. You've got the notoriety. Like, you were on that show. That was a really popular show. And it hasn't been off the air. What has it been off? Like 10 years now?
Went off in 2011, so 13 years.
Okay. But a lot of those people will still be watching it, I'm sure. And that's why I guess I'm surprised they didn't even entertain the idea. Maybe they wanted a bigger star or something like Jason Biggs and this.
Well, I honestly, I don't know. I would not want to see me.
You never watched it anyway, did you? Just for the recipes.
I had my time doing that, and I think it's time for a fresh take on it. Okay. And there's something sad about, I don't know, when somebody tries to revisit something after it's kind of hit its, you know, done its thing, especially when the person comes back and they're fatter and has gray hair. I know there's something. I don't want to depress people, Pete.
Okay, Tubbs, we're ready for you over here on the set. You look the same to me, but okay, I get it. I'm not trying to be silly here, but did you become a better cook, Paul, from hosting that show? You guys made some really cool stuff, no?
I was so desperately trying to find the comedy in the moment that the food stuff went in one ear and out the other. I did absorb a couple of things. But my focus was just trying to be entertaining. And Claude, the chef, he had that all down. You know, he would tell us right before we rolled, okay, tell them, you know, you're heating this to 350 and, you know, you're doing that and you're doing that. And honestly, 10 minutes later, I would forget what it was that I had said. So,
makes sense.
No.
Who was your...
But I have made some of his recipes since then, and they're amazing. I would, at the end of every episode, we would sit and we would eat the dish that we had made. And every single time I would think, I'm getting paid to eat amazing food. How lucky am I?
I have to be honest. You always seemed a little bit like you made fun of it a little bit. And I know where that comes from, because like I said before, when I started out doing stand-up, you were already kind of a hot shot in Chicago. And I remember a lot of people saying things about you, like you were on this fast track and you're edgy. And then you're hosting a cooking show. That must have been strange for you, because you're such a funny guy. And you were funny on the show. But is that what you kind of struggled with sometimes?
Yes. Yeah, the comedic compromise and having to kind of rein things in. And also, you know, being totally self-involved and worrying about what my peers think. And nobody cared.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, anybody that knew me was like, good for Paul.
Right.
You know, he's got a gig. He doesn't have to be on the road all the time. But I was like, oh, you know, what if so-and-so sees that bit and that joke was lame? It's just... I took myself way too seriously. And so then I think I felt a need to make fun of the show, lest it seem like I took it too importantly and it was lame. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I didn't think it was a lame show. I think we had moments that were really great and memorable that I'm proud of.
It's a great show. And we could talk more about it next, but I've been blessed or cursed with the idea that everything stupid I ever said to impress a woman or another comedian, I think about at night, Paul. I have a great memory for that kind of stuff. So I never let that go. Paul Gilmartin is my guest. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab. We'll have more with Paul coming up next.
When you need a shoulder. This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Berlow.
Don't forget your sunscreen. It's true. You should be protecting your skin year-round, even in Wisconsin. But did you know spring is actually the peak time that you're at risk for getting a sunburn? Here's why. UV rays are more intense in the spring, even before temperatures warm up. And second, it's all due to the angle of the sun. UV radiation strengthens as the sun reaches a more direct angle. This happens throughout May and into June, leading up to the summer solstice on June 21st. A good reminder to be sunny weather ready, even if there's still some springtime cool outside. So slap that sunscreen on. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Craig Anthony Knitt will be here in the second hour, local filmmaker who will be hosting and help put together the summit, Cinema Summit at the Brown County Library this weekend. I think you can still get tickets for that. Craig will be here to discuss what you can expect. And I'm going to have some footage of me talking to Bigfoot enthusiasts because there is a convention June 1st, and there's no way I'm not going to that to talk to people about Bigfoot. Paul, do you believe in Bigfoot?
I do not.
Yeah. I don't either, but
I do believe that people who believe in Bigfoot need mental help.
Well, I'll pipe down about believing in Bigfoot then. Jeez.
Do you really believe in it?
110%. I think there is. Yeah? So I'm from very far up north originally. I'm from close to Park Falls in Mercer. So okay. I spent a lot of time unobserved in the woods as a kid with my two dogs. I have not seen Bigfoot, nothing close to Bigfoot. I just have seen open spaces and wooded spaces that make me think we don't know entirely what's out here. I could totally believe that it's some weird primate species that walks upright and wants to hide from people. Me too, dude. So I believe in him, but more importantly, he believes in me, I think. So we're good.
I believe there's stuff out there, maybe.
I believe in aliens.
Me too. Yeah.
I think you're more likely to find something deep underwater. It's so much harder to figure out what's like. There could be a megalodon down there still. I don't know, but I have trouble when one person said, "Well, I think Bigfoot can appear here, like he's an alien or she, and go to this dimension." I'll say is I don't know, but I tend not to. I need to see some evidence, I guess.
Yes.
And I have big feet, so, Paul. Well, you worked with several co-hosts on Dinner and a Movie. Mm-hmm. Who's your favorite?
Boy, that's a hard one. The two people that I got to be friends with the most were Lisa Kuchel, who was the second host, and Janet Varney, who was the third host.
Okay.
I was closer to them than I was to Annabelle, who was the first host. We kind of butted heads a lot, Annabelle and I.
Okay. Are you open to hosting another show? Do you go on audition still for this kind of stuff?
No,
or is it something you're kind of done with?
No. Yeah. I kind of left that stuff behind. And again, there was no big demand for me. So it's not like, guys, please, everybody pipe down with the offers. I'm walking away.
You should call a press conference, and then there'll be more in demand.
Yes, I did. It was in my living room, and my dog was very impressed by what I had. I just had no interest in doing television anymore at that point. I had started doing my podcast, and I really felt like that's where I was supposed to be, and so I put all my effort into that.
So, all right. So that's a great segue. Tell us about the Mental Illness Happy Hour. You have a pretty successful podcast and a very interesting topic.
Yeah, we talk about mental health from a peer perspective. Really any mental or emotional battle, past or present, could be trauma, could be depression, anxiety, you know, multiple personalities. You know, we talk about all kinds of stuff. Sometimes I talk to a therapist, sometimes it's a friend, sometimes a psychiatrist or somebody who's famous. Sometimes it's a listener. I have listeners on as guests sometimes.
Do you think there are more issues or people with mental health issues in the entertainment business than not?
Probably, because I think most of us came to it because we were trying to fix something in ourselves, kind of like people in the therapy field. I think probably 90% of people that get in, that become therapists have issues. Right. And I think it can make them a good therapist if they can, you know, understand them and, you know,
agreed,
find a way to live healthily. I think it can help you understand people better.
It's interesting because I've thought about that, because people say, oh, people in Hollywood are crazy, or you have to be a little crazy to do stand up. I think that is a natural therapy for people, whether they pursue acting, yeah, or sit down at their computer and write or do improv or whatever it is. I think that is a natural form of making therapy fun, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I think there is maybe a bit more anger in stand-up comedians than there tend to be in other art forms. I could be wrong, but you know, I think whether you draw or sing or whatever, but I think stand-up comedians, I don't know. I think there's maybe more control issues there than some of the other arts. I don't know.
I agree with you, and I think, and I don't know anything about a lot of that stuff other than just like dime store theories about mental health and my own issues that I've dealt with, like we all deal with. But when I think back of all the condominiums I shared with comics and some of the behavior I saw, ooh, I'm just like, ooh, this is not normal. And I, you know, yeah, I've got issues like anybody else, but I'm not walking around the condo naked waiting to be addressed like that, or like, you know, hey buddy, you can do this. I'm just not going to talk to you about your nudity. I'm not going to do it. So knock yourself out, you know, but this is weird. Like there were so many people like that I worked with. And I
never experienced the nude condo roommate, but it doesn't surprise me.
Twice. Yeah. It's just, and I don't want to mention names. I'll tell you off the air, but just crazy. And I've had female comics on the air, and one guy who booked one of the Funny Bones said, I can't put you in the condo because if one of the guys, if they want to walk around and they're all together, they should be allowed to do that. Male nudity is a reason. And you know what? Yeah. Give me a hotel room. I'm a guy and I'd rather have a hotel room, yes, but the idea that the woman is the one left out here because
she's the one, yeah, that has to accommodate the nudity.
It's just
not
so
really
bizarre.
Surprising. Not really surprising.
It's so bizarre.
Honestly, when I started to kind of move up the ladder doing stand-up, one of the most satisfying things was being able to say, you have to put me in a hotel and it has to be this kind of hotel.
Oh, nice.
And them agreeing to that. That was like, oh my God, it was so much better.
You know, it's funny. We used to play guitar once in a while. And I remember you getting a call from a club owner and you turned down in the mid 90s, $600 a week for the week. And I was like, what's he doing? Like, we'll talk more. Can you hang for a few more minutes, Paul?
Sure, sure.
All right. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight. My guest is Paul Gilmartin. The very funny Paul Gilmartin will be back in a couple minutes talking stand-up comedy and making each other laugh. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the center, WRCE. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time when we take a look at the very important topic of mental health. It is May, which is Mental Health Month. Be with us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop.
That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is New from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.